My name is Douglas Berger, and this is Glass City Humanist. I spend each episode talking about humanist values and how to apply them in our lives. I might also interview humanists or friends of humanism to find out their unique take on the humanist philosophy. I will also share news and information of interest to humanists and other free thinkers. In this episode, we talk to Pam Neese, a registered nurse from Glandorf, Ohio, who volunteers with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. Pam helps fundraise and lobby on issues important to cancer patients and survivors. We find out that cancer sucks and is not political or religious in its destruction. And she also lets us know what we can do to help, including purchasing a Lights of Hope bag. Glass City Humanist is an outreach project of the Secular Humanists of Western Lake Erie, building community through compassion and reason for a better tomorrow. If you live in the greater Toledo, Ohio area and are looking for a humanist community, then please check us out. You can reach our group at humanistswle.org or from a link on the podcast website, glasscityhumanist.show. With us today is Pam Neese. She is a volunteer and she works with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. She happens to be a registered nurse and she works for a major insurance company. And for full disclosure and transparency, she happens to be my sister, but please don't hold that against her. And thank you for being with us today.
You're very welcome.
Okay. And as I said, you know, you volunteer with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. What exactly is that?
The American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, or the abbreviations ACSCAN or ACSCAN, is an advocacy arm of the American Cancer Society. And the mission for ACSCAN is to end suffering and death from cancer by talking to our national and our state leaders, hopefully trying to impact the votes that they do on bills and policies to continue to help our cancer patients, families, and friends who have all dealt with the dreaded disease.
Okay, and as a volunteer, what specific things do you do with that group? What are some of the activities that you get involved with?
I am a ACT lead or a constituent lead. So I have people underneath of me. I'm responsible for recruiting, mentoring, and leading other volunteers. I engage with Relay for Life, the Relay for Life community, Making Strides Against Cancer, which is a breast cancer community, and other groups in the district on our issues. We use local media and social media for ACS CAN advocacy messaging and motivating the local team to reach team fundraising goals, that kind of thing.
Okay. And what topics about cancer and cancer research do you think that we should know about today? What's the current things that your group's working with right now?
One of our big current agenda items is the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Initiative. And this is for low-income females to get help with breast and cervical cancer issues.
Okay. And also, you know, this is kind of hits close to home for you and for me because our sister Lisa had, I believe it was cervical cancer. and it had not been diagnosed until she was pregnant. And so, you know, is that kind of how you got involved with it, was because of Lisa, or was there any, or was there other factors involved?
No, I started out probably about 12, 13 years ago. And that was 5 years after Lisa had died, with the Relay for Life. I needed to help try to make a difference in memory of Lisa, like you said, our sister who died of cervical cancer, by fundraising, making people aware of what we do. And about 5 years ago, I decided to take that one step closer. I just didn't feel like I was doing enough for Lisa and for others. My husband, Tim, has several people in his family that has been touched by cancer, aunts and uncles, friends, several friends. And in Putnam County, Ohio, we have a very high rate of familiar families with different kinds of cancers. I just needed to do more. Fundraising is great, but I want to do more and talk to the lawmakers. I want to make sure that research funding gets the funding, the piece of the pie, so to speak, of the national and the federal budget. Because cancer is not going away. It's still here. Even though we've made great strides in cancer cures and treatments, there's always more to be done. So I joined the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, and I advocate for new laws, new policies, for our cancer patients and their families.
What has been one of the, I guess, you know, because, you know, dealing with cancer and people having to deal with cancer, it can be a struggle, can be a downer for a lot of people. But what is there, like a single or maybe more than one positive aspect that you have come across as being part of this group doing this volunteering?
One of the positive things that I think that I have witnessed is the Medicare loophole for the colorectal screening law. Congress made this law for the Medicare patients, and it says that if you had a polyp discovered on a routine colonoscopy, because that's how they're discovered, you have to pay extra for this polyp. It's no longer a screening, it's a diagnostic. Well, for our Medicare patients, that's not okay. We had advocated for this closure of the loophole of the law, which was Congress-driven, for a couple of years. And I think it was last year or the year before Congress decided to close that loophole, and that was very exciting for us. So, say a patient goes in for a routine colonoscopy, they're older adults or patients on Medicare, and they come out and the doctor says, you've got a polyp. The patient says, okay, well, next thing you know, they've got a bill for a polyp removal, and that's just not right. So it took an act of Congress to close that loophole, and we're really excited about that.
And do you remember how long it took to get that passed?
It was a couple of years. We advocated for a couple of years on that.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, the other activity that, you know, I'm familiar with what you work with besides the that you had done besides the Relay for Life, was the lighted lantern. I guess it's a project or something like that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, one of our fundraising campaigns is the Lights of Hope. The Lights of Hope are a paper bag that says Lights of Hope on it. And they cost $10. And either the buyer could decorate the bag in whoever's name in memory and support and, you know, honor of a cancer patient survivor. And then we would take them to Washington, D.C. with us. Mm. Every year in September, except for the last year and this year, we are not going to Washington, D.C. for our Leadership and Lobby Day, which we would talk to our lawmakers, our federal lawmakers, and also have what's called a Lights of Hope ceremony. We would take all of these bags that are decorated in the name of cancer patients who have survived and who have not, and line the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool with the bags. And it is so awesome to see all states have bags, and there's thousands upon thousands of them there. And this is a reminder to our lawmakers that cancer's still around. We still need help. It's a visual reminder to them.
And what exactly is entailed with the Relay for Life? What is that about?
Relay for Life was started years and years ago because of a doctor who wanted to do something for his cancer patients. So what did he do? He went out and walked for 24 hours. Got donations and walked for 24 hours. Somebody liked that idea. So nowadays it is teams with family members and friends who try to outdo each other. And what we do is we go to a place, and we went to the football field here in Ottawa and camped out all night, set up our tents, had food available, crafts available, and we walked 24 hours. Somebody was on the track at all times. And it was raising money to send to American Cancer Society for research funding and whatever they need.
And was there like a minimum amount that the teams had to raise to participate or?
Never. Nope.
And so that's like the basic, they get pledges or things like that.
They can do it however they want to. Our team really didn't go and get pledges like for every mile, you'll pay me $1. Nothing like that. Some teams may, but not really us on my team. My team was called the Young and the Rest of Us. It was so fun. And what we did was we sold our luminarias or our bags. We also had food there. So we did walking tacos and pastries that we sold at the event and raised money that way. Other teams had games that kids played, you know, the little duck game. Pay for $1, pick a duck, get a prize.
Oh, okay. And is there any other activities or any other fundraising events that your group does besides the lanterns and the Relay for Life?
Well, the Relay for Life and the Cancer Society or the ACS CAN are two different things.
Oh, okay.
We are the advocacy group of American Cancer Society. Relay is the American Cancer Society's fundraising group.
Okay.
So we're two different things.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had asked me about fundraisers. Now, other fundraisers that the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network has done in the past and is continuing to do is we have a trivia night that is done online, social media, and you pay $20 to join, you know, to join, and you can win prizes. So in the Cleveland area, they have what's called laughter, the laughter is a cure, or something like that. What it is, they have comedians come in and do their spiel. You pay money to watch these comedians. Also have raffle baskets and things like that that helps raise the money. The money that we raise through Lights of Hope and also things like Laughter is a Cure goes to our expenses when we go to Washington, D.C. We've had wine tasting in the past. There are raffles being done online. One of my friends made a beautiful crocheted pillow and afghan and auctioned it off. So there's a lot of fundraising done on this end also.
And I kind of wanted to backtrack to the advocacy part. When you go, when you've gone in the past to Washington, D.C. to talk to legislators, because I've done that myself, not with federal legislators, but with state. What kind of experience have you had doing that? I mean, has it been deathly like scary and nervous, nerve wracking, or did you like really enjoy it?
Oh, I really enjoy it. My very first year was probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, and I was scared to death.
Yeah.
These people that we're talking to are powerful people, as we all know. I mean, they're put in a position where they can, you know, do things. And I want them to do the things that I want them to do with cancer issues. So I was a little bit scared. In my district, I'm in District 5, so I have not met with Bob Latta yet, but I met with Rachel, his health aide, and she was so super good. Kept me at ease, and we did our spiel. And the next year, she knew me by face, and it was wonderful. So after the first year, more comfortable. Have not met Rob Portman or Senator Brown in person during our meetings. We always met with their aides, but Senator Brown had popped into his meeting or popped into our meeting before he had to go to the floor and vote for something. And he seemed so super nice. So even though we meet with aides, I think they're called aides, they've got the ear of the representatives. So if you can get in good with them and be calm and collected, things go well.
Right. And it's not like that the member of Congress or whoever it is that you're meeting with doesn't find out about it, because they do. They take really good notes and they go over it with the person.
Right. And the colorectal loophole, cancer loophole that I was talking about, I was so surprised. A couple years ago, like I said, I met with Rachel. We talked about it. She took wonderful notes. And she emailed me that night and said that Bob Latta had signed on to help close the loophole. And I was so excited. That made me feel like I was actually doing something.
Yeah, it is. It's a good feeling when you get any kind of feedback, whether it's like a postcard or a letter or a phone call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then you really know that somebody's listening.
Right. And this is what I needed to be validated, I guess. And this is what I like to do. And in addition to Relay for Life.
Okay.
I needed that, you know, extra step.
Now, if you were going to talk to random people on the street, how exactly would you go about letting them know? How could they help? with your advocacy?
And I've had petitions with me, and I have had people sign petitions. I just go up and ask if they would mind talking to me about a particular petition that we would be doing at the time. I would explain it, and hopefully they would say yes. I wanted to bring up one thing I forgot to mention in the beginning, is that American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network is nonpartisan. We don't care what group you're with, because, like I said previously, cancer doesn't discriminate. It goes after everyone. So I do petitions. So then I ask them to sign a petition, possibly. I ask them to buy Lights of Hope in honor and support and memory of a cancer loved one. I let them know what I do, that we go and talk to these lawmakers and that try to impact and influence their vote for a particular policy or law that we believe in.
Okay.
And then I tell them my story.
And how would they then, would they go, besides meeting you and taking literature from you or signing a petition, how else would they do that? Would they check out the American Cancer Society's website, or?
They can get on the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network website, and they can sign up to be a team member of our team. And one of the things that I would tell people to do is call your legislators, call your lawmakers, state and federal. You are their constituents. They need to know how you feel about the cancer issues that we are fighting for. That's a big thing with American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. We're on the phone. We're sending emails. We're sending cards. We're tweeting. We're on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, you know, trying to get our lawmakers to do the right thing.
And then I also wanted to touch a little bit on your career in the healthcare field. How long has it been? 35 years?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's, I think 80, so.
84, 35 85, years. Something like that?
86.
Was it 86? That you became a registered nurse, and you worked for many years in Lima.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, you worked in a cardiac care unit.
Yep, I worked in cardiac care, critical care. Like I said, I also did what we call utilization review, which means I review charts on all different types of cases and sent the information to the insurance company in hopes that the patient care would be covered in the appropriate level of care. I also worked in the IT department, where I taught our electronic medical records for about 13 months, and then I was downsized.
Now, when you were working with patients, and I mean, how's that different? I mean, because, you know, you're doing that, you're still doing the utilization reviews, right?
Correct.
Currently?
Correct.
How is that different than working with patients in person? Is it any different, or is it like experience? Is it a different experience?
Definitely. Yes, it's different. Working with patients, you get to know them. They you know their idiosyncrasies. You know their families, especially the ones that we had in critical care or in cardiac care. Most of them were repeaters. If you have a condition with your heart and you've got congestive heart failure, you can have exacerbations, and you can be in the hospital 3 and 4 times a year. You get to know people and you kind of fall for them. Some patients are easier to fall for than others, mind you. But taking care of patients is totally different than what I'm doing today. I am doing the utilization review where I review the charts that the hospital sends. And it is non-emotional. It's fact-driven, you know, which in my line of work is great because you have to have the facts so that you can get these cases paid for in the correct level. Whereas in the hospital, it doesn't really matter much when you're a nurse on the floor if they're in the correct level. All you know is that your patient is hurting or in distress and you need to fix it by medications or IVs or physical therapy or whatever.
And when, you know, we're kind of making our way slowly out of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. During the brunt of the pandemic, you know, last year, did you have like sort of an idea that maybe you might want to help out if you were asked and go back into a hospital and help?
I did. But in the area that I come from, there were no needs, so to speak. You know, Findlay, Lima's, Defiance, they really didn't have a need for additional help, unlike New York,
right,
Chicago, you know, and the Floridas. They had the extra needs. And my company that I work for would have left me go for a while, and I could come back.
Well, that's good. That's good, because I know after talking to some other people, like first responders and other medical people, you know, they get that itch, you know, they see somebody in distress and they want to help them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely.
All right. And then finally, what I like to do is I kind of like to turn the microphone over to the person I'm interviewing. And so take a minute or two and, you know, make a pitch for whatever it is that you want to make a pitch for.
I just want to let everybody know that you can become involved with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network and supporting our cancer patients, whether they're family, friends, or next door neighbors, by going out to my website that will be listed and purchasing a Luminaria bag or a Lights of Hope bag. Let me know how you would like it decorated or if you'd like to decorate it yourself. And we would be showing it and possibly taking it to Washington, D.C. this year.
And that typically happens in September, right?
September, right. And some other things that you can do is to call your lawmakers. Go to http://action.fightcancer.org. Go to /OhioACSCan and look at our site. We will have our policies and laws that we are hoping to get into action. And also, therefore, you can call your lawmakers, state and federal.
I want to thank you very much for your time today. And it was a very interesting topic. And I'm glad that you're able to do that work and that it's meaningful to you. And I'll also, echo what you were saying earlier, you know, cancer goes after everybody. Doesn't matter what political party you're in. Doesn't matter what religion you believe in or if you don't believe. And so it's important that we work to try to get solutions and try to find cures and help the people that are struggling with it today.
Correct.
So thank you very much. And I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for asking me to be on.
Thank you for listening. For information about the topics in this episode, including links used, please visit the episode page at glasscityhumanist.show. Glass City Humanist is an outreach of the Secular Humanists of Western Lake Erie. Sholi can be reached at humanistwle.org. Glass City Humanist is hosted, written, and produced by Douglas Berger, and he is solely responsible for the content. Our theme music is Glass City Jam, composed using the Amplify Studio. See you next time.